Welcome everyone to the June Council meeting for the Town of Bassendean. Apologies first of all for the delay in starting this evening. We're just having a conversation with some of the people involved in one of the agenda items tonight. So apologies for keeping you all waiting. I'd like to start, as always, with acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, which are the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation, and to pay our respects to the elders past, present and future. So tonight we have a few special people joining us that I have the privilege of presenting with some awards. These are our Sports Achievement Awards, and I think we all have an appreciation of how important sport and physical health activity is to people's health, both physical and mental, and to building a stronger community. So the recipients that we have here tonight are... have been successful in gaining state and national representation in their chosen fields of sport. So, the first that I have tonight is for Max Trivick, and in a moment I'll ask Max to come up. So Max was recently selected by Baseball WA to represent Western Australia at the National Little League Championships. The championships were held in Lismore earlier this month, and Max's team, the Eastern Phantoms, won all of their pool matches to finish top. Then they played in a quarterfinal, which they won, coming back from 4-3 down in the bottom of the fifth innings to win the game 5-4. That's fantastic. This gave them a place in the semi-final, and with scores locked at 2-2 at the completion of the game, an extra innings was played to decide who would play in the gold medal game. The Eastern Phantoms weren't able to hold on and played for the bronze that day. Max's team lost the bronze game and finished fourth, but it was a massive achievement to Max and his teammates. So well done, Max, and I'd invite you to come up here and I can present you with the award. So the next person we have to present the award for is Sophie Preston. So Sophie was selected to represent Australia at the Gothia Cup in Sweden next month. Wow. The Gothia Cup is the Junior World Cup for soccer with over 1,700 teams from 80 nations. So this is a huge achievement. I wish I was that good at some sport to go to Sweden. Sophie is dedicated to her sport and hopes to develop future pathways for other young girls to follow. So we wish Sophie all the best for her travels to Sweden, and we hope that you go really well, and we look forward to hearing about your success in Sweden. So come forward, I'd like to present you with your award, Sophie. Thank you both for coming here tonight, and we hope that you both continue to be strong ambassadors for the Town of Bassendean in your sporting endeavours. Thank you very much. Okay, just let me get organised. Those of you who are regular attenders at council meetings may notice that we have a few new faces up the front here this evening. So as many of you would be aware, last year we appointed Peter Mabbs as our new CEO. And following that, Council endorsed her performance agreement. And so in that performance agreement, we asked her to deliver an organisational structure and workforce that would reflect the future needs of our organisation. So Peter was tasked to deliver an appropriate organisational structure which reflected the community aspirations, the workforce resources and the systems required to meet our future challenges. So early this year, Peter presented us with a rationale for an organisational restructure, and earlier this month we had a special council meeting to endorse the new organisational structure. So as a result, there's been a number of pre-existing positions that have been made redundant. So that was the Director of Community Services, which was previously held by Graham Haggett, the Director of Operational Services, that was previously held by Mr Simon Stewart Dawkins, and also the Senior Economic Development Officer that was held by William Barry. So I just want to take the opportunity to acknowledge each of those individuals and the years of service that they gave to the town of Bassendean, to our community, and their dedication to Bassendean, because each of them has made a really significant contribution during their time here with the town. So the new structure that's been endorsed has an increased focus on governance, placemaking, infrastructure and the community. So it's been designed to be cost neutral and has reduced the number of directors down from 4 to 2. So the new senior roles include the Director of Corporate Services, and we have tonight here with us Paul White, who has joined us in that role, who commenced with the town last week. So welcome, Paul. The other two new senior positions are the Director of Community Planning and the Executive Manager of Infrastructure. So we will currently, well, the town, Peter will start the recruitment process for those positions soon. But as a consequence of all of that, we have new people here this evening. So I've already introduced Paul White, but we have Mona Solomon, who is currently in the Acting Director of Community Planning role, and also Phil Adams, who is in the Acting Executive Manager of Infrastructure role. And then just to introduce everybody else, we've got Salvatore, I'm not sure what your role is at the moment, Manager of Recreation and Culture. We've got Christian Buttle, who's the Acting Manager of Development Services, Greg Neri, who is the Manager of Youth Services, and Shana Merritt, who is the Senior Ranger. Right, so it's an exciting time for the town of Bassendean, and I'm confident that with the new structure there'll be great possibilities in the future. But I just wanted to give our CEO the opportunity just to speak to the new structure before we commence on tonight's meeting.
Thanks. Thank you, Renee. Just for those of you that haven't met...
Oh, sorry.
Paul White. Paul is our newest appointment, having started last week. So Paul's our new Director of Corporate Services. Paul's had an extensive history in executive roles in state and Commonwealth government, and also a former Director of Deloitte. So Paul's a certified practicing accountant and also a fraud investigator, and has a master's in taxation. So I'm really excited to have Paul as part of the leadership team. So thank you, Paul, and welcome to the town. Over the next few months, we have interim arrangements in place in terms of the other leadership roles. So Mona Solomon has stepped up into the Manager Community Planning, which is one of our new roles, and also Phil Adams into the new Executive Manager Infrastructure. So thank you to both officers. And those positions will be advertised over the next couple of months. And just so you're aware, the new senior appointments that are made to the town will also be contract-based. So this is a significant difference from previous permanent senior roles, and also don't have vehicles with them. So that's part of our sustainability ethos. So thank you.
Great. Thank you, Peter. Okay, so next on the agenda is item 2, which is public question time. So in a moment I'll give you the opportunity to come forward and ask questions of council. I'd just like to remind people that our briefing sessions are... our council meetings are recorded and live streamed, so those who wish to speak, just wanted to make sure that you're aware of what you're doing so. And that's just in the interests of transparency for our community. So is there anybody who would like to ask a question? Yes.
Ron Snellgar, Anstey Road, Bassendean. Madam Mayor, can you advise what the finalisation date for the winding up of the Town 4A planning scheme is?
I can advise that a date hasn't yet been set. There has been some recent work undertaken to explore opportunities in that regard. I might actually ask the Manager of Planning Services to elaborate on that if you can, please. Thank you.
Thank you, through the Chair. The town did undertake a recent amendment to TPS 4A. One of the objectives identified in that amendment was to wind up the scheme within 3 years from the date of that amendment being gazetted. So those final actions are intended to be worked through in the upcoming period to bring that scheme to finalisation. But at this point in time, it's too early to specify an absolute final date as to when that will occur.
Just as a point, that 3 years has well expired.
Through the Chair, the 3 years from the gazettal of the last meeting is still in place to my recollection, but I can take that on notice and provide you with the absolute date that that does take us through to.
Thank you.
If
I may, are you aware, Madam Mayor, that over the last 35 years there have been two reports which I believe you have paid for as council? Are you aware of that?
So two reports specifically.
Those two
in relation
reports.
In relation to...
Well, Brian Reid is supposed to be preparing a report. But the two reports, one Mitchell McCotter provided in 2002. I think you should have a look at that.
I'm sure when Mr. Reid prepares his current report, he'll refer to that previous report. I guess the current council is keen to have an understanding of Town Planning Scheme 4A in its current form so that we can understand how best to proceed with that at this point in time.
Okay. And I assume you haven't got any more sworn valuations for the remaining land in Town 4A Planning Scheme?
My understanding is that we have not.
Through the Chair, we don't have any current valuation with respect to the remaining parcels of land that do need to be acquired.
Okay. Now, at this point...
Mrs. Snugger, I'll let you ask one more question at this point, and then I'll give the others the opportunity.
I've only just brought this to my attention, but you cut down a tree in Harcourt Street this week, early this week. Now, the tree opposite it is half of it is on your verge and the other half is on my property.
Okay.
And it has to come down.
Okay, so the tree that you're referring to, I think, was the one the arborist had assessed as being structurally unsound. I'm not aware of the tree on your property. Have you had communication with our staff around your tree to date?
No, but someone has cut down a Japanese pepper tree that's suckering all around it. And they've cut that down.
Okay.
Well, they haven't cut it down. They've just poisoned it.
Okay,
but
so
they should have poisoned the tree too.
Okay, sounds like something that we need to have our staff follow up during the week with. So,
thank you.
CEO's taking note of that. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. Further questions? Yes. Mrs. Dreyer?
Bell Dreyer, 31 Norton Crescent. I do hope that the art show this year will go back to the Cyril Jackson Hall. I think it is bad that the little bit of art from the children is stuffed up the other end here and it's not even protected. It's a far better place to have it for getting into as well. And the other one is when the Shire is putting something on themselves, why don't you put a sign outside the Shire? It's sort of down by the seniors, so if you don't really know this area, perhaps it's something for the oldies. I think you should promote your own stuff right outside the Shire.
Outside the council building, you mean? Outside the council building?
Outside here.
So just your first point
about... There's plenty of lawn there.
You know, I appreciate the feedback.
And the other one is we've got all these men from the men's shed. How about a shed for the women? You could put it near the men and they might be able to help with the tools and we could help them with their mending.
Maybe you need to have a chat to the men. Further questions? Okay, in that case we'll move on to 2.2, which is addresses by members of the public. So if there's anybody that would like to speak to a particular item on tonight's agenda, yes?
Rick Richard, 26 Anzac Terrace, Bassendean. I'd like to speak in regard to the One Planet Living. I was going to do this at a future date. However, it's appropriate, I think, at this time and opportune, I guess. The 5G network. There's been quite a lot of discussion around this lately, and I'd like to bring to council notice that this is actually a pulsed system. By the time it gets to us as a usable thing, we're radiated from space, picked up by boxes. There's going to be one box about every five houses, thereabouts. And this has to be of high power because we're dealing with radiation in the form of 1 millimetre in size up to 10 millimetres in size, so it has to be pretty heavily powered up. There's a guy called Raymond Royal Rife back in 1936 who had a pulsed system, and he used this for curing people of disease. However, this 5G system was developed by microwave technology, developed by the army as crowd control, in which case it was meant to disable and disempower and make people feel quite unwell. And from what the technicians are actually saying and the scientists are saying is it's going to do the same for us, but on a global scale. There's something like 20,000 satellites going up, courtesy of Mr. Musk and the Tesla system, and these will be centred around the equator, and nothing will escape it, including us. The cost to public health is probably going to be incredible, and the cost of our own personal health has already been proven over the years with Telstra technicians actually getting up and making a stand on this issue too. So I'd ask Council to take due notice of what's going on. I'm going to prepare some summaries with internet connections so you can actually check it out yourself, and I'll present that to our CEO for further perusal. But please be aware this is not a simple system, and it also comes from the military, and it's designed for military use. Channel 44 had a very interesting system on last week where all of this was exposed over a period of time, quite a few snippets from various setups in time and from various people. So it's something that's pretty deadly, and it's not to be overlooked.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I learnt a lot then, so I appreciate it. Yes, Ms. Jacobson.
Hi, Donnie Jacobson, Spartan Parade, Bassendean. I'd just like to make a comment on item 10.11, which is in regards to the River Parks Committee meeting at which I was present. I think it's really good to see meeting summaries in the agenda as well as minutes, and I'm actually looking forward to the town of Bassendean progressing further with plans towards improving the amenity and ecological system function in our wetland in Dowring Park.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. In that case, we'll move on to item 3, which is attendances, apologies and applications for leave of absence. I previously had a leave from the 6th to the 21st of July approved. Councillor Brown, you weren't here then, so I'm just bringing this to your attention. Anybody else? Okay. Deputations, so we have Clive Brown representing the Men's Shed speaking on item 1010.
Thank you, Mayor.
Clive, if you'd like to come and sit at the table, you're very welcome.
Ah.
We don't buy.
It's a lot easier to do it from here. Well, thank you very much for this opportunity. The Men's Shed question has been before the council for 11 years. For 5 years, not a site could be found at all. And then in December 2013, when we'd just about given up hope, the council made a decision on the 17th of December 2013 to allocate 1,000 square metres of land at the town's depot site in Scanlon Street, Bassendean, subject to 5 caveats. And this is the council letter at the time of 2013. So everyone was very pleased with that, and indeed the council was pleased with it because in the Bassendean briefings of April-May 2014, there's a very nice picture of a very handsome mayor at the time, not so handsome of the Lions Club of Bassendean, standing there digging the foundations or seeking to dig the foundations of the men's shed. And so it was clearly seen that this was going to happen as far as the town was concerned. A number of things had to be attended to. in relation to that decision, and so it was important again to remind the council that the town was committed to a men's shed. And in the December 2015, January 2016 Bassendean briefings, there's again another picture, somewhat smaller this time, but the same very handsome gentleman in the middle with us looking at developing the site for a men's shed. But we had an area of land allocated to us, or allocated for to us before a men's shed at the old depot site. It was a regular shaped block. Nevertheless, we entered into very detailed discussions with the council in relation to securing a lease, a deed and a lease for that site. And this was done in cooperation with the council's lawyers. And this is the signed deed and lease for the site that was entered into in 2015 in relation to that site. Now, we then had a disappointment in that Lotteries West reduced its ask, reduced its amount that we would be prepared to pay. And we then had costings on that site, and it was an irregular shaped block, and therefore it needed to be specifically engineered, and the costings were far too much. And so the council then had to reconsider whether that site could be made into a rectangular block so the costings could be brought down. And one of the last remaining decisions, I don't know if Paul is still here, is he? There is. When Paul was on the council, one of the last remaining decisions while he was there was to move an amendment to make that block a regular rectangular shape, so in fact we could bring down the cost. And we were very pleased that that was done. Unfortunately, because the block was very constrained and required all sorts of retaining walls both on both sides, then the costs were still too great, and a quantity surveyor on behalf of the council estimated even for that new rectangular block the cost of the shed would be $1.2 million, which was far too much for anyone to meet the cost of. So we were then out of luck, and once again we were notionally homeless, never quite having a home, but almost having a home with that block. Then it was decided that we should look at a block in May Holman Drive, which that block was looked at, not an easy block at all, but that everybody understood the difficulties with that block. It's an undulating block, it's next to a water court drain, it has trees on one side, but quite a difficult block. Notwithstanding that, the council decided in August 2018 by a 5-1 decision to call tenders for a metal shed on that block. That's what the council decided to do at that time. And tenders were called, and contractors who are under pressure in the building game at the moment spent some considerable time and some considerable hours and some considerable cost in putting in submissions in relation to that tender document. And that tender has now been assessed by council according to the agenda papers and a recommendation made. And so we think this has gone on an enormous amount of time, and now is a decision to be made by council. We know there's not agreement on the council in relation to this, and that's fine. And we're all adults here. I've served in other places where we're all adults, and you have the argument, and one side wins and one side loses. That's called a democracy. And you have the vote, and people are entitled to vote as they see fit. It's important to understand that this is a crucial decision for the men's shed. This is a crucial decision for the men's shed. We have not exactly been idle in the community. We have not exactly been a little group sitting in the backyard waiting for gifts from heaven. We have been out in the community doing community work, and we can list it all off, doing community work when others were called on. Who was called on to do it? It was the shed. It was the members of the shed called on to do it. Who else was fronting up to do it? Nobody was fronting up to do it. We were doing it. We were the ones asked. We were the ones that did it. And yes, we did work for the council. But we did work for a very inexpensive cost for the council in terms of the various functions the council has raised, in returns to the traffic management, in relation to the parking, in relation to NAIDOC Day, in relation to a whole range of other things. So our members, even without a shed, have been fronting up and doing this work. Some of it voluntary, some of it paid, but never, when I talk about paid, not $1, not a single dollar for a member of the shed. Nothing. All of those hours have been donated hours by the shed members to raise money for the shed. That's what they've done. And there are thousands and thousands of hours that have gone into achieving that. And so this decision is an important decision for the shed tonight, because we think this is an important issue for the community, and particularly for men of a certain age in the community that have a place to go. Men's sheds are the fastest growing social movement in Australia, bar none. Bar none. And you don't have to be Einstein to work that out. The Second World War ended in 1945. There seemed to be a lot of baby boomers in 1946. Don't know why that was, but seemed to be a lot. And for the years thereafter, and all of those people are now in their 60s or in their 70s. And so, and men's sheds are designed really around the whole issue of men's health. And so it's really a question, I think, tonight for this council to determine whether it now goes forward with this proposition that is before you and makes that determination or not. Now, if there's an or not, then obviously that is a council decision. And if there is an or not, then obviously the men shan't have to consider their position. They have to consider then what happens. Because the council may decide to do an or not and have to do something and to create its own shed. That's what the council decides to do. It's your decision. So I want to be very clear about this. Very, very clear. The second thing is, if it's an or not. This council does not have the best reputation when it comes to dealing with Lottery West grants. This council has a pretty bad reputation dealing with Lottery West grants because it doesn't spend the money. It applies for the grants and doesn't spend the money. And the projects sit there year after year after year after year, and the money is never used. Well, the new reality is that Lotteries West ain't going to have that anymore. Lotteries West saying, we will take back the money. And this money that's allocated for the men's shed is on a fixed term grant. So it'll be lost.
Mr. Brown, I'm going to have to ask you to wind up and give me some questions.
The other thing is, we ourselves have been applying for grants for machinery and other things. So if it's an or not, all that money has to go back. And the third thing is, if it's an or not, then you have to look at the total cost in terms of the community cost.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Questions from councillors?
Some of the grants that have been organised, I believe that Greg Neary organised grants, one of which was Carol Side Ford. That was from Pat Gorman. What was that for? You were successful in that. What was the grant for?
The grants we've got are from Patrick Gorman.
That's 20,000. I know that that's successful. You have been successful in that.
The state government one, we got 15,000, is for machinery.
Yep.
We got a DVA grant for machinery. the Lions Club has made a very substantial grant, again for workouts in the shed. So the Patrick Gorman one I can't bring to mind, but if
drop
you send it to the building, I'd accept that. The drop ceiling. Okay, it's for the drop ceiling in the proposed shed. Yeah.
Councillor Quinton's got a question next.
Yes, thank you. I just wondered if you had any more discussions about solar panels on the roof? Thought about that?
Yes, and there was a grant advertised a short while ago by the federal government, and you could get up to, if my memory serves me correctly, you could get up to a little under $6,000, I think, from memory. The guidelines for that are not out yet. However, it did say in the brochure that you could register an expression through your local Member of Parliament, and we have registered an expression through Patrick Gorman, who is the Member for Perth, and therefore that's appropriate. We won't actually see the guidelines, I think, until September, but the expression has gone in.
And based on the current plans and the way that the building will face, which way would the panels go? Have you had some discussion about that? Because obviously if we have big trees, it's going to hinder your ability to have those panels work effectively.
Yeah, I must say, Councillor, that's a level of detail that we haven't looked at. Obviously we take advice in relation to that normally from the solar people.
Would it help if I answered that?
Is that allowed?
Yeah. No, yeah.
You can have a second person with a deputation, so you're welcome to answer.
Thank you very much. Because of the pitched roof, that's the north side. There are no trees on the north side, so it'll be 100% effective.
Great. Just wanted to ask about fit out and insulation. Is there any detail that you guys have on that?
That might be a question for Mr. Neri, I think.
Yeah,
I'll ask that later during the item. Then.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah,
I'll
but we will. If it's not included in the plan, we'll put it in.
You will. Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions, Councillor Hamilton?
No, I'll save that for staff.
Okay. Anything further? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, item 5 is the confirmation of minutes. So we've had a number of meetings in the last month. So 5.1 is in relation to the ordinary council meeting held in May. So we have an officer recommendation that the minutes of the meeting be received. We have a mover, Councillor Mikichuk, seconded by Councillor Brown. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. 5.1b, that they are confirmed as a true record. Moved by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Mikichuk. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. 5.2 is in relation to the special council meeting. The topic of that was the organisational restructure held on the 10th of June. So 5.2a is that the minutes be received. I have a mover. Councillor Mikichuk, seconded Councillor Wilson. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. 5.2b, that they are confirmed as a true and accurate record. Moved by Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Mikichuk. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. 5.3 is the special council meeting to consider differential rating on the 18th of June. 5.3a, a mover to receive the minutes. Councillor Quinton, seconded Councillor Brown. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. 5.3b, that they confirmed as a true and accurate record. Moved by Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Quinton. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Item 6, announcements. I think we dealt with that at the beginning when we introduced our new staff members. Item 7, petitions. I don't believe we have any. Item 8, declarations of interest. So there are none. Item 9, there is no business deferred from the previous meeting. So moving on to item 10, which is the reports. So at present, I currently have these reports coming out of en bloc. 10.2, 10.3, 10.4, 10.5, 10.6, 10.10, 10.14, 10.23, which is the late item, 11.1 and 11.2.
Are there any additional items councillors would like taken out? Councillor Hamilton?
1019.
Anything further?
No.
Okay. So do I have a mover for the remainder to be carried on block? Councillor Quinton, seconded Councillor Brown. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Okay, so 10.2, this is the request for endorsement for public advertising of the draft local integrated transport plan. This is Mr. Dowling's item, but he's not here this evening. I wanted this brought out on block just because there were a couple of points of feedback that hadn't been included in the document. So AT4, which was one of the recommendations around active transport on page 14, refers to the Wilson Street subway, and it refers to potentially closing that. I don't believe council supported that, so I'd like that to be amended. And page 21, there was a request for that to include an update on the car parking at Ashfield Station, and that has not yet been included. So, how are you going, Amy?
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, okay. And CEO is just pointing out to me on page 10 of the report, there's a date for the advertising in the second paragraph that says commences 2nd July 2019. And what is the correct end date?
So it should go to the 2nd of August 2019.
So not July, the 2nd of August. Okay, are there any questions for the staff on this item? Okay, in that case, I'm happy to move the officer recommendation with those amendments. Is there a seconder? Councillor Mikichuk, is there anybody against? Councillor Wilson? Okay. All right, so let's put that to the vote. All those in favour? Councillor Gangell, Mikichuk, Quinton, Brown and McLennan. Against is Councillor Wilson and Hamilton, so that is carried. Item 10.3 is the adoption of the Town of Bassendean Dogs Local Law. Are there any questions? Councillor Mikichuk?
Yep. I just had a question in regards to there's a segment section that deals with the number of dogs someone can keep. I noticed there's an exemption for breeders. Is there any other exemption should people want to deviate from that?
Thank you.
It's basically set under the Dog Act that the local government can set the local law for up to 6 dogs, and it was a decision of the town to only allow 3, which is the standard underneath the well-known preferred models. So generally speaking, we don't allow outside of that unless it is provided for in the Dog Act as an exemption under the local law provisions.
Okay, thank you. All right, I thought it was 2, but thanks for clarifying that it's 3.
Any further questions? Okay, in that case, we have a mover for the officer recommendation. Councillor Gangell, is there a seconder? Councillor Mikichuk, is there anybody against? Okay, all those in favour? That is carried unanimously. 10.4, this is the installation of manually retractable bollards on Old Perth Road. Questions? No, thank you very much. Okay, we have an officer recommendation. Is there a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Wilson, is there a seconder? Councillor Mikichuk? Are you against? Oh, you want a motion? Okay, would you like to open debate, Councillor Wilson?
What's not my recommendation?
Thank you, Your Worship. I was initially very supportive of this idea of Councillor Gangell's. I thought it made sense to be able to install some sort of permanent traffic management scheme in the town, and I did so on the basis or the understanding or the assumption maybe that it would reduce the cost of our traffic compliance because we would no longer need to have signage and portable, removable bollards and the such. Staff advised us at the briefing last week that even if the bollards were installed, we would still have to do all of those things, so there would be no benefit or cost, recurrent cost saving from the installation of the bollards. So on that basis, I don't see the need for it.
Thank you. Councillor Mitchell?
I'm happy not to speak.
Councillor Gangell?
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I put this up to assist with, to help define the areas that we have events in within the town, namely the markets, and also when we have the events at the front here of Little Italy and Wonder Realm. Now, they are very helpful in defining the area, rather than the flimsy signs that you actually get there with a road closed signage. Now, I can particularly speak for the events that we've held in the front of the administration area. They aren't at the end of the street, so potentially at the end of the street where Guildford Road and Wilson Street is, where the markets occur, maybe are more easily defined for traffic when they're turning into the area to see that there's no access there. Whereas when the events are actually held in front here, you've actually got, despite the signage coming up saying there's no left turn and the road's closed, people still don't acknowledge that signage when they're turning, and they go to turn left anyway. And all you've got is literally a rectangle sign that says road closed, and people hit that sign and then need to reverse back, realising that the actual street is closed off for an event. So to actually have the pull-up bollards assists with actually defining the area and actually prohibiting traffic entering. With the bollards, you get more of an impact to the car rather than the reverse. I had at Wonder Realm a trailer hit the rectangular sign that we had with road closed, and it buckled the actual legs of the sign. So it is very flimsy. It is not an ideal situation in relation to safety. Also, under traffic management plans, if you do have those pull-up bollards, you are not required to have as many people monitoring the area in case there is a requirement to allow emergency vehicles through. Therefore, and these events are largely volunteer that occur, it allows for volunteers to be placed on other duties. This is a council that talks about wanting to become more pedestrian friendly. We want to actually encourage the streets to not be so traffic ready. We want to encourage pedestrian-friendly access to our roads and encourage activity into our streets. This, as I say, it helps define the area. It gives more permanent structure to when the road is closed to ensure that if vehicles are coming and should there be a vehicle that doesn't realise that the area is closed, there is a defined structure there that hopefully prevents any serious injury occurring. Therefore, I actually think with the way the town wants to go, bear in mind we're very shortly hopefully going to get the festoon lighting out the front to light up the front grassed area out here, to actually have the bollards as well, where we can then define the area and start to create a piazza-style area, I think is a very, very good thing for the town. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ganger. Councillor Quinton?
Yes, thank you. I will be speaking for this motion tonight, and I just want to respond to a couple of points that Councillor Gangell made. Firstly, these bollards are manually retractable, light-duty designed as a visual deterrent for vehicles whilst allowing pedestrians through. The bollards investigated are not designed as asset protection to stop hostile vehicles or as a crash barrier.
No, but what I said was if a car turned...
I understand. But this is the advice that we have been told, that these are not the kind of bollards that you think are going to stop any kind of hostile...
I didn't say a truck coming through. I said a vehicle turning left.
Sure. I think if we're going to invest in bollards, then they should be terrorism-proof bollards. We should be spending the money that is long-term, that is actually going to protect our pedestrians long-term. So the other point I'd like to make is I'm always very hesitant to automate something that could be done very well by the volunteers of our community. There is nothing better than a human being able to say, we have something going on here, we need some assistance immediately, please call the fire, please call ambulance, please call the police. Bollards can't do that. The third point on the motion tonight is about us moving into more of a master plan idea for Old Perth Road. This is not to say this is off the shelf. This is to say that these bollards need to be considered in a whole, in a holistic street view for Old Perth Road. So I would say, I would urge councillors to vote for this motion.
Councillor Brown.
Yes, I'll be voting for the motion. I don't disagree with anything Councillor Gangell said. I just don't think $54,000 just from an economic point of view, I don't think it can be justified, and there's no cost benefit to the town. In particular, I take Councillor Quinton's point of view that we don't know what a master plan is going to contain. It may very well be, for example, made into a pedestrian mall or something more permanent. So for something that's temporary, used not that many times a year, I'll be voting for the officer recommendation.
Just briefly, because I think everybody else has covered most of the main points that I would like to address. I don't disagree with Councillor Gangell's desire to have a more attractive amenity and the need for, or the potential for bollards to add to that. But I do think that at this point in time, when there are plans to have a look at how we can make that whole section of the town pedestrian friendly, it would be premature of us to spend close to $54,000 on something that may well become redundant in the near future. So I would like us to revisit this again once we are at that stage, but for now I don't think it's the appropriate time to be looking at spending this money. Councillor Wilson, did you want to exercise your right of reply?
No, it's me.
No.
No,
you're against.
Oh, of course. Oh, I got excited there. Oh, I got excited.
I wonder why you were taking notes.
Oh, no. Oh. Lucky I was yelling out.
Okay, well, if Councillor Wilson doesn't want to speak again, we'll put that to the vote. So all those in favour, it's Councillor Wilson, Mikichuk, Hamilton, Quinton, Brown and McLennan, and against is Councillor Gangell. So that is carried.
Thank you.
Yes, so item 10.5, this is the bus shelter installation proposal.
I just wanted to ask about the relevance to our town about perhaps implementing a bus shelter policy. Is this something that we're going to have to consider again in the future, particularly around design of bus shelters? I think would it be something that we could go out to the community and ask them what they wanted our bus shelters to look like?
I think that's something we could consider. They are a mixture of our own asset, Adshell asset, and PTA asset, so we could possibly look at putting this through the asset committee or something like that, or the public placemaking.
So just to clarify, the current, I'm not sure if it's a policy, but the bus shelters procedure that we have for the town, so that outlines where it's appropriate for us to put a bus shelter as determined by the number of daily boardings. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And does it specify much more than that?
Yeah. There are some minor specifications, but it's mainly about the boardings.
Yeah. Thank you.
So on that question then, if we delayed this item, in order to have a policy, is there anything prohibiting us from delaying this? Would the money come off the table from the PTA?
Possibly. They've allowed the money to be carried forward to next year.
Okay. Councillor Hamilton?
Thank you. You sent through some different images of different types of bus shelters that are available. I would assume that there's some cost differences between some of those. Would that be correct?
That's correct.
Okay. This motion is to actually install the ones that were in the picture in the attachment? Yes?
Similar types, yes.
Okay.
Well, the exact picture was known for James.
The one where there's a particularly constrained site that we needed a narrow design.
So is it possible for councillors to find out which other of those images would be in the same price range to enable us to choose or not?
Yeah, I could look at that. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other questions? With respect to the bus stops being considered tonight, I guess the one at James Street is the one that's most concerning, given it's in front of Hyde Retirement Village. So I guess the patronage comprises mainly of those that live at Hyde Retirement. So I guess there's a sense of urgency there from, you know, being age friendly. It's also the most awkward site in that, from a disability access perspective, we're fairly constrained in terms of what we can put there. There's obviously not the patronage at the other sites, and obviously not the vulnerability level that applies at those other two sites.
That's correct. That's correct. That's probably the highest profile one, CTW, and one the community's asked for the most.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, so we've got an officer recommendation. You also have Councillor Ganju, is that a question?
Yep. No, I hope you're done with the officer recommendation.
Okay, so what I was going to say is there's the officer recommendation and you also have the alternative that I put forward, but Councillor Ganju is moving the officer recommendation at this stage. Is there a seconder? Councillor Quinton? I'm against. Councillor Ganju?
Yep.
You're against as well?
Thank you very much. Look, happy to approve this. We are commencing consultation in relation to the bus shelters with the community, as has been earlier stated, in relation to funding that's allocated to the town. We have somewhat of a known ability to somehow keep prolonging money that should be coming into the town and being spent on community infrastructure. I think bus shelters are very worthwhile and therefore happy to support the officer recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Gangel. Councillor
Quinter? Yeah, I agree. There has been, as is very clearly stated in the letters from our community, that these bus shelters have been asked for. They have been lobbied by the community to be installed. With hotter summers, we definitely need these, and we definitely need it outside the Hyde Retirement Village. For people who don't have cars, I don't think that we should delay. I'm satisfied with the flexibility in the design from the questions from the staff, and if that is something that we can further investigate with Bassendean Our Future as something that we could consider, and if maybe council makes the initial decision on design for these bus stops, then I'm happy with the flexibility that we can move forward and ask the community about a policy later. And I agree. I mean, once if we've got money that we can do, whether it's 2 people a day or 20 people a day, those two people still get on the bus and they still need to use the bus. So we should be providing shelter for those 2 people.
Thank you, Councillor Gangel and Councillor Quinton. I'm not sure whether you've had the opportunity to read the alternative motion that I put forward. It in no way was rejecting the funding that we've been offered. In fact, I was proposing to reduce the cost to the town. So we're considering 3 bus shelters, none of which meet the requirements of the town or the PTA's policy to the number of boardings. Both the bus shelters at James Street and Penzance Street have had heavy lobbying to our local minister and to the Minister for Transport, which is why we've been offered funding for those locations despite it not meeting the requirements of the policies. However, the 3rd bus stop, and this is what I had removed as an alternative to the officer recommendation, is located on Devon Road. We're currently in a situation where we have funding available from our insurance company when the previous bus shelter was damaged. That location only has 1 boarding a day, and the residents of that street have contacted the town requesting that a bus shelter not be reinstalled in that location. So my proposal was to go ahead and install the bus shelters at James Street and Penzance Street, use the funds that we've been offered, and reduce our own costs by not spending additional funds on Devon Road where there's 1 boarding and the community members have said that they do not want the bus shelter. So I won't be supporting the officer recommendation. I would like for the alternative motion to be considered by councillors.
Sorry, just a question.
Yes.
But currently, just so I know, there is what just one of those wooden structures or metal structures with the timetable on as a bus stop in Devon Road. Is that what's there?
So there was previously a bus shelter that was damaged and has been removed, yeah, and it has not been replaced.
No, what I'm asking is whether or not there is actually any, because you know you've got the where they don't actually have a shelter as such, but just the metal.
Yes.
With the timetable, is that what's in Devon Road currently?
I think so. I think just a post.
list. Okay, that's what I just wanted to know. Thank you.
Are there other speakers for the motion? Again, Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Worship. This has been quite a bizarre saga. We have a situation where a state government has removed shelters and then lobbied us to put them back in again after they removed them at our ratepayers' expense, even though it was a decision of the state government to take them away. I don't know necessarily that that's good governance. I understand that there was a pretext based on disability access to the site, but it led to a bizarre situation where to make the site better able to be accessed and egressed by wheelchairs, shelter from the rain and seating for elderly residents of the town were removed. I'm very pleased that the state has said that they will pay 100% of the cost. We were previously in a situation where they only wanted to pay 50% of the cost, so I congratulate staff for being able to negotiate an improved outcome.
So just to correct you there, Councillor Wilson, one of them is still 50% of the cost.
Which one is that?
James, which is an interesting choice, given that that's outside the retirement village, which is why I'm proposing that we use the money from the insurance to fund that bus shelter.
Yes, if indeed that's possible.
It is possible.
Okay. But that would...
So just pause your debate for a moment. Can we just get some clarification around this? I was under the impression that we could use the insurance money for another location.
Through the chair, you are correct that we can use it from another location, but the bus stop from the previous location is a larger size than the smaller one down at James, so I'm not going to be able to put the new bus stop. So the insurance company has already replaced the bus stop. I have the bus stop in my storage, so I can't put that bus stop, fit that bus stop at that location.
It could go up Penzance Street, though.
It could go up Penzance Street, and we could.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Councillor Gangell. Please continue.
No, Wilson.
Oh, sorry, Wilson.
thank you for the clarification, Your Worship. I appreciate that. I understand that from time to time residents don't like bus stops outside the front of their houses. Usually there's fears about them being magnets for antisocial behaviour or all sorts of imagined crime that can occur there. I understand that a lot of those concerns are based on the fact that the old bus stops are opaque. They can't be seen through. I also understand from the briefing documents that the proposed replacement bus stops are visually permeable, so you can see what's happening on there, and for that basis I support the officer recommendation and the reinstallment of bus stops at all locations, including Dunedin.
Thank you. Any other speakers?
Yeah, I'll just briefly speak against the motion. I think you covered most of the points, but just to reiterate, having a bus shelter in Devon Road or street with one boarding per day doesn't seem like a good use. It seems like a better use of limited council funds if we were to use that money for one of the other shelters. So for that reason, I think it's, far better use of limited resources, and not sure how one boarding a day justifies, a replacement. So for that reason, I don't support the motion. I think people should... councillors should seriously consider the alternative.
Thank you, Councillor Mikichel. Any other speakers? Councillor Hamilton?
I'll speak against, because as Councillor Mikichel has said, funds are limited. I agree with Councillor Wilson that it is an odd situation to have something removed by the state government and then to have it put back. I assume a lot of that had to do with community lobbying, and I'm glad that the community lobbied for that, because it's taken a while. However, when we come to expenditure, I actually think the Devon Road one, because residents in Devon Road did not particularly want the bus shelter reinstated, I think we should be listening to the residents, whereas opposed to James Street, where the residents were outraged that the bus shelter was removed. I think that you know, the alternative motion may find a nice balance. So in this respect, I'm speaking against the officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Councillor Brown, you've got anyone left? Do you want to speak? No? Councillor Gadgil?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. It's by the looks of it, by the report, it's two residents on Devon Road. That's a very dangerous precedent that we're now setting, that two residents speak for an entire street. Also on Devon Road, having grown up very much on Devon Road, there's also the Hyde Village, I think, Devon Village, sorry, it's called, obviously Devon Village on Devon Road there, with quite a number of units and the like. Considering we've just heard tonight that the bus stop has very much been already replaced, we actually already have the bus stop, I'm assuming, at the depot, ready to be installed, and that we're going out to consult with the design and the like for the other two areas, be it that... that two people, and which is now the street, don't particularly want a bus shop, then bus stop, they're not going to be too concerned about what design actually goes there if they don't want it anyway. So therefore, I think we should consult with those that that are looking to have a bus stop and get them one super duper one. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gangell. So put that to the vote. All those in favour, Councillor Wilson, Gangell.
You're against.
No, sorry. What? Of the recommendation. Officer recommendation.
No, hang on.
We're voting for the officer
dealing
recommendation.
With the officer recommendation.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. So, Councillor Wilson, Gangell, you just spoke for it.
I changed my vote.
Oh, okay. All right. So, for the motion is Councillor Wilson and Gangell. Against is Councillor Mikichuk, Hamilton, Quinton, Brown and McLennan. So, that is lost. So, therefore, the alternative motion that was put forward, I'm happy to move that. Is there a seconder? Councillor Mikichuk. Is there anybody against? Councillor Wilson, Councillor Gangell, do you actually want to debate this? Mm. No? Okay, so we'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Councillor McLennan, Mikichuk, Hamilton, Quinton and Brown. And against is Councillor Wilson and Gangell, I assume?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, that's correct.
It is carried. Thank you.
Just want to point out an error in what was carried. We just heard from the officers previously that the James Street can't be fit with the Devon Road. One that's been replaced, and just move that you're going to replace James Street, which doesn't fit from the Devon Road bus stop.
So it's actually about the funds, so I'm not sure. Is it a problem, the wording of the motion? So you've said...
Oh, I said... Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Okay. Are you okay, Amy?
Yes, no changes to yours.
No. Okay. 10.6, this is the Ashfield train station car park. Questions?
Unbelievable. That's what I'm trying to make it up.
So, councillors, you have a slight amendment that I have suggested as well in front of you.
No.
So that.
I want to put it. I put a bus.
Councillor Gangell, do you want to?
Sorry.
Is there something you wanted to say?
No. It's all good. It's all good.
So we've got the officer recommendation. There's also an amendment that I have suggested, which includes a point at point 2A that specifies that the trees that are planted meet our planting criteria, and that was based on the fact that the report we received from PTA was specifically referencing the street tree master plan, which we have since rescinded. And then an additional point 3, which is thanks to Councillor Quinton's point made at the briefing session last week, where Council notes the PTA's intention to incorporate two disability parking bays into the proposed car park facility, and that we express our dissatisfaction with the ongoing universal access non-compliance at the Ashfield train station and request that higher priority be given to addressing this issue by the PTA. So I don't know, Councillor Quinton, if you wanted to move that, you're very welcome to. Councillor Quinton, I'll second that. Sorry, Councillor Hamilton. Is there anybody against? All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. 10.10, men's shed. So, questions on this item? Yes.
Happy to move the officer recommendation when you're ready.
And I'll second it, thank you.
Okay, hold on a second. Thank you. Did either of you want to speak to the item first?
I have
Can I, just before we do, can I just acknowledge Mr. Mary's efforts in this project, because there's been a lot of activity around this since late last year, and it kind of ended up in Greg's lap. So whatever decision is made tonight, thank you so much for your efforts, and I think the men genuinely appreciate the role that you've played. I know it's taken up a lot of your time. So thank you very much. We really appreciate your efforts. Yes, question?
Questions.
Yes.
I note the landscape plan is included in the officer's recommendation. Unfortunately, it looks like a lot of that landscaping is actually not on our block of land. So incorporating that landscape plan into the officer's recommendation seems a little bit difficult, given it's not our land. So would the officers have a suggestion on that point? Because, you know, point two doesn't seem to be doable.
Through the chair. It was only late in the day that it was felt that it would be worthwhile council seeing what was going to be proposed in the landscaping plan. So that's only come to us last week. And what we've discovered from our arborist that we use is that in fact, a lot of these major trees won't fit on that site the way it's configured right now. He's suggesting that we plant up the adjacent site where the stream is, and also the possibility of looking at the other site to the north that the Rail Heritage Association now use. So I think it was withdrawn from this report, wasn't it, from the recommendation?
So the current recommendation references the landscaping plan in point two. I circulated an alternative that potentially removed point two and three at this stage, so that the landscaping plan and the leash didn't in any way confuse the tender discussion. But that's up to council as whether or not they want to separate those two things out at this point.
So I think it's recognised that it needs more work, and we need to have discussions with the adjacent landholders to see if we can't fit the trees we hoped on that plot that we're thinking about for the men's shed, that we could possibly plant a number of trees on the adjacent lots. Brief discussions today with the Rail Heritage people, and they're very open to that idea, although we're not planning to meet until Friday.
Councillor Brown, and then then Councillor Mikichuk, then Councillor Hamilton.
In light of that, I'd like to propose an alternative motion.
Sure,
give the opportunity to separate point two from point one.
Yep. So is that the alternative that's...
The alternative would be one stat as it is, deleting two and three, replacing two. Notes that further discussions are required regarding landscape amenity, lease arrangements, including the planting of trees and ongoing maintenance, with a further report to council before commissioning of the facilities. I've got no doubt our adjacent neighbours would be thrilled if we were to plant trees adjacent to that stream, and I reckon we could do a ratio of probably 2 or 3 to 1.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Councillor Mikichuk.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask some clarity. Is the Railway Heritage Museum the only other lands that are impacted by that landscaping plan?
No, that would be Watercup as well.
Okay, and have you had any discussions, sorry if we discussed it earlier, have you had any discussions with Watercup about those possibilities?
No, we've only received the landscaping plan very recently.
Yeah.
And we've only been in discussions the last 2 days over how we would respond to the landscaping plan we received. So one of the plans is going to be to look at the neighbours and see if we'll go with the see if the possibility that the arborist is suggesting is going to be viable through Watercorp and through the Rail Heritage people.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Hamilton.
This may be a difficult question because possibly the person who could answer it is no longer with the organisation, but here goes. The tender document went out capped at $335,000. However, it's my understanding that the WALGA recommendation was not to cap that tender document. And I would like to know what was the purpose of capping that document.
Certainly, I can answer that. And just to provide a more fulsome response and some broader context, there's obviously been some process issues that I've had a look at as a CEO around this particular tender. So in going to the open market, there's always the flexibility around whether or not you provide a fixed price tender or not. There's not a hard and fast rule. But in this particular scenario, we did seek advice from Welga, and their advice was don't put a price limit on the tender, outline your specifications, and assess it from a qualitative perspective first, and then look at the cost. A decision was made internally. It wasn't a decision that I made. And the tender did go out. It wasn't capped as such, but it did talk about a budget set by council. And I guess the ambiguity through the process was when suppliers were met on the site, the communication was you could go above. But then through the evaluation, it was, we need to consider price now. So I guess that fluidity does create some ambiguity. But during the assessment process, from a value for money perspective, you evaluate the qualitative and the quantitative, and it's the two combined. But you evaluate the qualitative separately first, and then looking at price, which is what's occurred here. So I'm satisfied that the result that's before council now represents the process, how it should apply. I guess the question that you ask is around should the tender have gone out with a price in it? It did go out with a council set budget, so it did constrain potentially some responses.
Okay, so following on from that, may I ask why the organisation would seek Welga input and then not follow it? If the advice given was that we should not cap the document, I'm confused about why we would end up in that situation, because obviously Welga had a reason for saying not to cap it, the tender document. And if I'm reading into this, I would say it was because it could potentially give council the opportunity to select a better quality build. But I might be wrong, but I feel like that has been removed from us by capping. So I'm curious about why we would apply to Welga for their input and then ignore it.
Sure. And I can't provide a full response to that because I don't understand, I guess, the mental elements that were going on at that time in the decision maker's mind. But usually Welga advice is sought from a QA perspective. So particularly if it's a complex tender, so the technical specifications around this one were somewhat complex because it had to consider a number of constraints. And that's why that advice was sought. I guess with any advice, the decision maker then gets to choose what it, you know, what elements it chooses to act on, and that's what happened in this situation.
Okay. We have another question for the office, please. in many conversations, backwards and forwards, councillors have always been assured that as many trees as possible on that site would be preserved. Now, looking at the site plans, it's quite clear that almost no trees will be preserved. In fact, I would say 95% of the trees will be removed, and all, obviously all vegetation. Would I be correct in that assumption?
Through the chair, that's correct. If you recall the site visit we did last August.
Oh, yes.
I was at the meeting and I was very clear that you can't keep the trees. If you make this decision, it means the loss of the trees. I don't know if others recall the conversation, but I had to be clear with everyone that that was going to be the case. I think there's been some ambiguous discussion around that. Like, we're trying to keep the most trees we can, but I think any advice that I've given has been you will lose these trees.
Okay. Unfortunately, my recollection of that site visit was that not all councillors were there, and people broke off into smaller groups, and it started raining, and this site visit was organised the night before the meeting. So if I might ask the administration that we perhaps never have that sort of situation again, because I found it to be less than perfect. But in any case, I'll let someone else ask a question next and come back to it.
Any other questions from other councillors?
Yes, I just wanted to ask. The men have said that they are happy to provide insulation for the shed. Is this some work that you've done, and what would that look like? How would that be involved in the lease arrangement?
Through the chair. The previous director supported a funding submission to Racing and Gaming, and in that we'd applied for $147,000 to fit out the front amenity area of the shed. So that would mean flooring, cladding of walls, insulation, drop ceiling, downlights, security screens, alarm system, networking, office space, storage area, all sorts of things. $147,000. That's quite well progressed. They're after some final information from us to progress that. Unfortunately, we missed their last assessment meeting, but I'm assured that later in the year we'll be up for that. We'll be up for that next assessment meeting, and I've worked with the men's shed and Clive to get the last few details they're requiring.
Is there a time limit on that grant?
No, it'll only be assessed twice a year. So unfortunately, we've missed the last round. We were just in time, but then we've had some hold-ups. So we're waiting for the next round, which I think is September, October.
Councillor Hamilton,
this is the same Community Gaming Trust, isn't it? It's the same.
That's correct. Yes.
So this is the same grant that I brought to the director and CEO's attention previous to October last year. This is the same grant where I suggested to the administration that we apply for a grant to get a better quality build for the men's shed. Right. Okay. Same grant.
Same grant.
And when did you make the application?
To the chair in February this year.
Okay, so you obviously weren't instructed to make that grant until recently when I brought it up again with the current administration. Okay, thank you for that, Mr. Neary.
I just had a question. I know that there was some recent communication with the Rail Heritage Society, and that they have some plans for their lot. I'm just wondering how those two things will interact. So if Council supports this tender tonight, what complications that might introduce?
To the Chair. What that will likely mean is that the Rail Heritage Group will retain and fill the L-shaped part of their block, if you're familiar with the site that they own. And they will retain to the rear of the potential men's shed block. What that will mean is potentially savings on the north and west sides. Is that right? North and west sides. So potentially we'd have some changes to the contract to say, look, we no longer need to retain the rear. We no longer need to contain the north, because we're going to find some synergies with that group, with what their grading plans are.
And in terms of timing, because again, if this is supported tonight, there's a process that will start relatively quickly. Is there the scope to have those conversations with the Rail Heritage very quickly so that that can be the savings would be realised?
We're booked with David Dwyer for Friday.
Okay.
So,
and Rail Heritage, do you mean?
Yeah, sorry.
And Rail Heritage.
Yes. With myself, David Dwyer, Rail Heritage. David Dwyer understands all the levels and the engineering side of that block, and so knows what we would not have to do potentially. Mm-hmm. So it's likely to mean that we just simply don't retain the rear of the block. We wait for them to retain theirs and do their own fill, and it would make savings to the contract.
Okay. Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If the alternative is accepted, and that is one to accept the tender, and two that we a little further inquiry to landscape. You said you've already had some discussion with our neighbours and landowners, and there was no lack of enthusiasm for us planting trees on their property?
Through the chair again? Not at all. They're planning to use that block next door, between the Maltese and the men's shed block, for overflow parking and a road, and I think they're going to be required to put trees in that lot because they're having car parking. It's a certain ratio of trees per car park, but they're happy for any trees we've got on offer and very happy to be incorporated into a master landscaping plan.
And the eastern side, or as close as I can get, the eastern side of the proposed men's shed, just outside our boundary, is there any objection to, would there be any objection to planting trees?
North side? Maltese centre side? North
no, the other side.
Oh, okay.
Facing the east of the railway line. We haven't had discussions
these
yet.
These are just emerged.
Yeah.
The Water Corp side. The fact that we couldn't have significant large canopy trees on our block only emerged this week. So we haven't had discussions with those.
So my question is, if this alternative is accepted, would you be able to come back to council in July with something more definitive as to the acceptability of planting trees off the men's shed block?
Definitely, and at the same time have something more concrete after this Friday from Rail Heritage about what they would like to see as far as landscaping plan goes.
Hence the need for the motion, and I acknowledge the input of our Mayor.
Councillor Hamilton.
Okay, I think this might be one through the chair for Mr. Buttle. Now, as we know, I have been writing emails for something like 18 months about uncontrolled fill with debris like railway sleepers and what have you included in the fill, and I believe it's contaminated fill that's been used on that site adjacent to the reserve where the men's shed is going to be. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it would seem that if you have uncontrolled or contaminated fill in that site, there would be some issues with, you would have to remediate all that uncontrolled fill first before you could build a car park on it. Would that be correct? I do have photos of it all, by the way.
Through the chair, in terms of fill that has been placed on the adjoining property, the likely scenario with respect to that fill is that we would look to ascertain exactly what works had been undertaken and what, if any, flow-on implications there were with respect to future development of that property during the planning assessment process linked to a proposal for that site.
Okay, so when you say you do an assessment, I'm assuming you would have to assess what's gone into that fill, because originally that land was like the reserve. It was flat to a certain stage and then it dipped down. So all that halfway down and all that rear section has been filled with this uncontrolled fill.
Through the chair, if there is a concern with respect to fill that has been placed on that site, the ordinary way that would be dealt with would be by way of calling for a geotechnical investigation to be undertaken, essentially there would be samples of the soil undertaken, and that would ascertain exactly what was going on beneath the ground and what works, if any, needed to be done with respect to that fill that had been placed on site.
And that's at the landholder's expense, not the town, correct?
That would be an obligation of the railway society to deal with.
Okay. So, are there any more questions specifically to the tender? No? I can. No?
Well, I could propose an alternative. I know I'm on a beating to nothing.
Well, Councillor Brown has flagged his intention to move his amendment. So let's. Do we have a seconder for Councillor Brown?
I move the officer recommendation.
The officer recommendation, but move and second it first.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, so you're happy to have the landscaping?
Yes, I said.
Okay, so Councillor
Angela. Sorry, at this stage, can I remove my seconding?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Okay, so hold on. So Councillor Gangell has now moved the officer recommendation. Do we have a seconder for the officer recommendation? Councillor Wilson. We have people against, I imagine. Yep. Okay. Would you like to open debate, Councillor Gannon?
Thank you, Your Worship. I suppose I, more than anyone on the council, understands how long this process has been going. Frustrating, no doubt, this process has been for a significant number of people in our community. We have gone through every single process you can believe, looked at every single parcel of land from Whitfield Street to across the road at the Rail Reserve, obviously to the depot site, which has been spoken about. We actually did initially look, one of the first sites was, ironically, where we're talking about tonight, but then there was some sort of we weren't able to come to, at that stage, to an agreement with the railway, if I remember correctly, the railway museum for the use of a portion of the land that was required at the time. So we are now a very long way down the track. We are at a stage where we have now, council has allocated a parcel of land. Council has gone out and sought tenders. Council has been successful for a Lottery West grant. And I say council because all the way along this process, council has endorsed the process we've followed. Council has ratified going out to tender. Council has endorsed seeking Lottery West. So council, us as a council, has gone through this process. We are now at the stage where we have a proposal ready to go. We have funding ready to be allocated. You talk about point two. Point two is simply notes on the agenda. It's semantics, whether or not it's notes or says that you go down in another avenue of looking at landscaping. You're simply noting that a proposal has been done for landscaping. It's not the approved landscaping. It's simply notes. So the alternative is, to my perspective, is more semantics. And certainly, one of the things, being on council for a little while now, I've gone through a few contentious issues in my time, and certainly with the war memorial, I took the advice very, very clearly of the RSL. The RSL said that they were happy to have or to look at the relocation of the war memorial. I supported the RSL. The men's shed themselves have come in here tonight through the deputation of Clive Brown and very, very clearly articulated that they are happy with the proposal on the table. They have been involved in the process. They are now ready to get the process finalised and at long last be able to move into their shed. So I think, councillors, enough delaying, enough semantics, let's just build the shed.
Thanks, Councillor
Gangell.
Councillor Wilson.
So I note in Councillor Hamilton's questions to staff, she made an observation that the process was less than perfect, and I agree it could be held that the outcome is less than perfect, but what I'm certainly not going to do is make the perfect the enemy of the good. This is a good officer recommendation before us. It sets out what I believe to be the most efficient and quickest path towards getting this facility built, which is my number one concern. I do not support further prevarication or words that might lead to further delays in the process because of things like trees and the such. I have my own hierarchy of processes that I go through in evaluating this, and I've looked at the tender documents and they've talked about shed design, methodology, time frame. There's another component that's important to me, and that's the health and well-being of the blokes here at the back of the room who desperately want to see this shed built and built in the shortest period of time possible. I like trees, don't get me wrong, but I'm not nostalgic about individual trees. You can chop a tree down and you can place it with three other trees somewhere else. That is a good outcome. That is a better outcome. I don't care where those trees are. They don't have to be on the block. They don't have to be next door to the block. They can be in the general vicinity of the town and it's a better outcome. So, no, I will not support an alternative resolution. I will support the officer recommendation as put before us. I suspect I'm on a hiding to nothing, but I can assure everyone here that I will do everything I can to make sure that there are no further delays put into this process than need to be there. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton.
Okay.
I'm going to request that my comments be noted in the minutes. I'm opposed to a proposal that is deficient in many areas. I emphasise my in-principle support for the creation of a men's shed as evidenced by my search for a suitable site after I was elected in 2017. My search culminated in a council focus on the May Holman site as a more economical site to build compared to the depot site previously under consideration. At this juncture, I must express concern that council funds were expended on plans and creation of leasing documents for a men's shed at the depot prior to a business plan assessment and prior to estimating costs of bringing services to that site, which ultimately was revealed to be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Such waste should not be repeated or tolerated by this new administration. A former town employee stated that concrete tilt-up quotes had been evaluated during the depot process and thereafter disregarded as not viable for the May Holman site due to cost. Having now gone back to the OCM documents of June 2017, it's clear what was proposed 2 years ago was a building that was 25% larger with mezzanine levels, staircases, porches and many inclusions with hundreds of thousands of dollars required to simply bring services to that block. I believe the exclusion of concrete tilt-up as a consideration for the May Holman site to be a significant error. Tender to construct the men's shed at the May Holman site was capped at $335,000. This is unusual. Capping the tender also went against the advice of WAGA. It is my opinion that the capping of the tender discouraged applications from concrete tilt-up companies and ultimately robbed this council of the opportunity to choose a better quality, longer-lasting and more economically sustainable building. This proposal smacks of an inconsistent approach where the site is to be levelled, removing the last vestiges of mature trees in that entire industrial area, and where Planning Policy 6 requires a better quality build from our neighbours than what we are prepared to build on our own council site. I have spoken about my concerns re-inadequate processes. In a repetition of the depot site, no adequate business plan was created as part of the investigation of the May Holman site, despite my inclusion of that request in my supported motion of the 22nd of May 2018. I even went so far as to assist officers, directors and men's shed by providing copies of the City of Vincent men's shed business plan to use as a template. I'm aghast that there is a proposal on the table to build a new town asset without any asset renewal plan or a comparison of different types of builds together with estimated longevity and build cost per square metre. This proposal before us today smacks of short-term gain at the expense of better quality, longer-lasting build, which is to the complete detriment of future generations of men's shed users and ratepayers.
Thank you, Councillor Hamilton.
Just a couple of things. I appreciate the history of this project has preceded a number of the people in
this room. She's just addressing some of the points that Councillor Hamilton made that may be incorrect. She's addressing some of the incorrect information.
I just wanted to comment that I guess this project and its history has preceded a number of the officers in this room that haven't had the opportunity, I guess, to influence or provide input, particularly in the early stages of the project. Just one of the comments in regards to Planning Policy 6, I think we provided some advice on yesterday with regards to the fact that the design actually meets the standard of the town. So the standard that we hold others to, we hold ourselves to. So whilst the men's shed may not be elaborate and of a high quality, it does meet the minimum requirements of that particular planning policy. So I just wanted to...
We've just had Councillor Hamilton speak against the motion. Do we have any speakers for the motion? Councillor Brown, and then you can go next, Councillor Hamilton. Councillor Quinton.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, whilst I've said that I will put up an alternative motion, having listened to some of the arguments, I'm not particularly fussed because we can still go ahead and negotiate with our neighbours about the planting of trees. And trees are very important. it is actually goes to the health of the people that will be occupying the men's shed, because it is a tent shed after all, and there needs to be shade. So some kind of, so as I said, I'm not particularly fussed. I need to, not only a counsellor, but I'm also a boilermaker welder. I have a steel construction trade, and I have in my trade studies there was a particular emphasis on drafting. I think this is a terrific idea. It's not perfect. To say that it is some kind of, it lacks the standard of concrete tilt-up, I don't think that's the case. I think it is the quintessential Australian shed. I went to the Mundaring shed during the week, and that is in better condition, or as good a condition than when it was built. So I forget, it was some 14 years ago. Modern steel construction. This shed will see all of us out, almost. But it'll be there that long. So as I said, I'm quite happy to withdraw that alternative motion, and as long as we, next time we meet, we have some report on our neighbours' agreement to planting the trees.
So just to clarify, you're referring to an alternative motion. It was just actually an amendment to the original officer's recommendation, which Councillor Granger did not support, so that's not on the table at the moment anyway. Councillor Quinton.
Yes, thank you. There is one thing that is absolutely certain about this project. There are many lessons to be learned. I think we will be able to go forward now understanding a better process, and I think Kath Hamilton is forensic in her ability to make sure that we get the best outcome. But there is a point to be made, and that is that we always talk about economic, we always talk about money, we always talk about budget, we always talk about how much this is going to cost. What we very rarely talk about is what it will cost if we don't do this. What is the meaning, what is the emotional meaning, what is the mental meaning, what is the joy that is going to come out of this project? Those things don't get measured all of the time. We measure money and money and money, but we forget happiness and joy and connectedness and life. And all of those things should always outweigh money. Always. We have been down a process now that has taken more than a decade. I just want to clarify, I've removed myself as the second because I didn't agree that the men's shed should fund the full cost of the landscape plan. I think this is something that could be done with grants. I think this is something that could be explored further. And I hope that that's a discussion that can be had with the lease agreements. The only reason I wanted to vote against that initially was because of that point. This is a discussion I've had with the men, particularly about the purchase of the trees. They've had that conversation with me. So it's the only reason that I wanted to vote against it in the first place and to go for the alternative. But we're here now. I'm standing and I'm voting for it. And there is a lot of money out on the table that will be lost if we don't get our skates on. $147,000 from Racing and Gaming. A Lotteries West grant. Grants from federal government that the men have done themselves. And not to discount the absolute contribution that is not measured in money, that is measured in time and love and dedication to this community in all of their volunteer hours that they put into this community. And they must be thanked for that. And this building is our thank you to them. So, if my numbers are right, you're getting a shed.
Any other speakers? I just want to speak quickly, first of all, about the amendment. It's good that that's not becoming a confounding factor because I think the proposal was purely to separate out the two items so there wasn't confusion between the tender and the landscaping. But I do want to make a few points. So I think everybody is very clear in this room that men's sheds are very valuable assets to a community. You know, what a men's shed can bring in terms of connection, mental and physical health is really important, and as Councillor Quinton just said so articulately, you know, the men in our community who are contributing are already doing wonderful things to build that sense of community within the town of Bassendean. But I have also for a long time felt very uncomfortable about the way that this project has proceeded. As Councillor Gangell said, it has gone on for a long time and there's been lots of twists and turns. And I think the point's been made that there are lessons to be learnt from that. And I think that is probably the biggest takeaway from this whole lengthy saga, is that we do never want to find ourselves in this situation again, where decisions are being made at the last minute, where there's grant deadlines, where there's tenders that need to be responded to right now, because that does not lead to good decision making. And when we were elected, we all made a commitment to good governance. So we've made a commitment to the men for a shed, and I think the town council wants to honour that commitment, but we also need to be mindful of the fact that we've made a commitment to good governance. And that means staying true to our values. And that's where part of the conflict comes in this situation, is that there are values that the town has around supporting groups, about equity, but there's also values around making sure that we're making the best long-term decisions, that that we're preserving trees when we can. You know, as Councillor Wilson said, not just for the sake of it, if trees need to be removed, fine, but making the best efforts that we can to avoid removing trees when necessary. There's obviously competing priorities, and that's where my conflict has come around this project. It has never been about whether or not we want to support the men's shed. It has been about ensuring that we get the best outcome. And I think the process has been flawed in various ways. I think it would have been ideal if we had explored the concrete tilt-up option. That would have helped to possibly overcome some of the concerns and the competing priorities. Unfortunately, we're in a situation where that hasn't been pursued in its most recent iteration, and that's unfortunate. I think if this council, if this project had to have its genesis in this council, particularly under this new administration, then we would find ourselves in a different situation from what we do tonight, and I think that's very unfortunate. I do want to acknowledge that the men have had a long, long road, and there's been a lot of anxiety and a lot of frustration, and I do appreciate that, and I know that this has been a long journey for you. What else did I want to say? I guess, you know, it does come down partially to finances in terms of Lottery West grants, in terms of the other grants, and that at this point, to do anything other than to support the officer recommendation, we are going to jeopardise that funding, and that the project potentially will not proceed. And I think we've heard very clearly that if that is the case, then the men are in a state of despair, and that's not something that we want to inflict on this, on members of our community who are valuable. But equally, I definitely want this to be a very clear learning opportunity, and that the lessons that have been gained through this are not something that are forgotten, but that moving forward, any projects that we embark upon have much more rigour around them, having a business case like Councillor Hamilton has referred to, exploring all of the options. I know Councillor Gangell said there's been a long history of that, but I still think there were other things that we could have explored and unfortunately have not. I'm getting wound up by my phone at the moment. Thank you for listening to me. But yes, in saying that, I think we're not in an ideal situation. However, we have made a commitment, and there are other ways to measure the outcomes of this project, as Councillor Quinton has suggested. And although I feel uneasy about where we have landed and that it's not the ideal that I would have hoped for, that is the path that we have before us at this point in time. Councillor Mikichuk, did you want to speak? No, Councillor Gangell?
Thank you, your Worship, and thank you for everybody's contribution. Could I just say that over a long period of time, there have been some very dedicated staff at this town to this project. So to say that somehow, yes, we are human, perhaps it wasn't the absolute perfect scenario, I'll be looking to see what perfection looks like in the future, but there certainly has been very dedicated staff, whether they're with us now or being with us previously. So I think it's unfair sometimes to make level accusations at people that that aren't present. Could I also say, in relation to the current process, the CEO actually removed this item from the agenda to ensure that the current process was rigorously adhered to. So there was an investigation before it came back on the agenda that the CEO satisfied for it to be put back on the agenda, that a rigorous process has been followed. So I just wanted to make those points. But look, no doubt the volunteering service that the men shed and the contribution that they make to the town, I have every faith and every confidence that won't go unrewarded, and that in some way with their contributions we'll find a way to assist with potentially helping out with the landscape plan. But as I said, this is fantastic for the community. It's fantastic for the town. It's a massive step forward. Tonight, right now, we can vote and we can build the shed.
Just before we vote, I'd just like to clarify, in the case that staff are feeling like that was a slight at the work staff have been doing, Council, as Councillor Gange said previously, we are just as involved as previous councils in these decisions. So please don't let the comments that have been made tonight be a reflection on councillors saying staff have not had a good process. It's everybody in this room. I think we've all heard that there are different things that we can do in the future to improve on the outcomes for everybody. Anyway, back to the voting. So all those in favour of the motion before us, we've got Councillor Wilson, Gangell, Mikichuk, Quinton, Brown and McLennan, and against is Councillor Hamilton, and that is carried. 10.14, Order and Governance Committee meeting.
Thank you.
So item 10.14 is the Audit and Governance Committee. Are there questions? No. Do we have a mover then for the officer recommendation? Councillor Gangell, seconder. Councillor Mikichuk, was that?
Sorry, I can't see you.
Anybody against? All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you, Phil. Okay, 10.19, accounts for claiming. Councillor Hamilton, you want this out of en bloc?
Sorry, this one.
Accounts for payment, 10.19.
Sorry, caught me by surprise. This is really chair. We've got a on page one, for instance, we've got a payment of $1,694.
So which attachment is it?
16? This is in the payment figures in attachment.
16.
In
attachment. It's okay. It's 16.
Anyway, we have a payment for Surrey Street for something that's pretty much going to be...
What figure is it?
It's on page one, and it's EFT payment 37882. It's a payment for acoustic consultancy service condensing unit 1 Surrey Street. Can I just ask the administration, do we have anything in place whereby if you are going to redo a property that we don't maybe expend funds immediately?
Can we get some clarification? Is anybody aware of what that payment was for?
Sorry, what was it, the acoustic?
It's the condensing units. I assume that's the air conditioning or something. Condensing units at Surrey Street.
Condensing units. I have some vague recollection that this was an issue that was discussed at a formal workshop, but I'll follow it up if you like.
The only thought I have is that since we're going to be doing the Surrey Street project almost immediately in the next 6 months, it seems silly to waste money on this. But that's just a comment. The other one would be page two, EFT payment 37916. We paid Arbor Carbon $4,555 to do an audit of street trees planted along Old Perth Road.
Hmm.
Sort of bit bemused. Yes, but an audit? We can go down and count the trees in the street ourselves.
It's for the Chinese tellers.
Anyway, it was just an odd one that jumped out at me. Again, I note that we have expenditure for tennis court maintenance on page 5, EFT payment 37988. Again, my curiosity is why our own staff are not doing that maintenance, why we're paying the tennis court what would be equivalent to at least a part-time, perhaps even a full-time employee. So that's, and that only started about, I think, 6 or 7 months ago, or maybe a year ago. So I'm curious as to why we stopped doing it as an organisation and why we started paying the tennis court to do maintenance. Then, of course, we've got the same old, same old. We've got the payments going to the Old Perth Road Coordinator of Stalls, which is $3,980. And we've also got the $1,400 a month going to the Rotary Club. So all up, I've added it up to around about $65,000 a year that we're paying for the coordinator, the Rotary Club, and the men's shed to do the traffic management. And I'm wondering if there's been any exploration of how we might get those costs down, or how we might get, for instance, the Old Perth Road Collective to perhaps manage the markets. I'm curious about options there that might reduce our expenditure. This is a petty one. This is very petty. On page 1, or is it page 9? Page 9, EFT 38115. Those three picture frames cost us over $1,000. Those three.
It's quite cheap.
So,
with the photos?
Yeah, no, without the photos.
So my question to the administration is, perhaps, I would think that's really expensive. I wouldn't go and pay that myself. So if it's ratepayers' money, I would like some sort of value judgment to be used all the time. Like, is that really a reasonable price to pay? But
this, you know, perpetuity.
Councillor Hamilton is allowed to make her point.
Anyway, I just... That'll do. I mean, that's just...
Okay, thank you, Councillor Hamilton. Okay, so do we have a mover for the officer recommendation? Councillor Gangell seconded. Councillor Brown, all those in favour? Carried unanimously. So now on to 10.23, which was the late item, which is the approval of the pop-up parklet and the development of a parklet policy.
Did you want to speak to...
Yeah, just very quickly. Back in 2016, Council actually resolved to authorise officers to issue a permit for a parklet to be constructed in front of 25 Old Perth Road, which is currently O2, for a trial period of 6 months. That was never implemented. We're now at a point where we actually have a new town team, the Old Perth Road Collective, that are keen to implement a parklet, a mobile pop-up parklet, and move it around based upon need. So the idea is it becomes a sort of almost a shared resource on and around Old Perth Road. So it'll be in front of O2 during the markets, providing extra seating space. But then on a Saturday night, for example, it could move down to Old Lira and be in front of the pizza place. So essentially it's something that the town team have been very passionate about for a few months. This is about trying to support them because they've actually already put together the parklet, and they're hoping to have it in place for the markets on Sunday. So it also proposes that there's a commitment to develop a policy, and there's lots of policies that other local governments have put in place for parklets and alfresco dining. So essentially it would be a matter of us looking at one of those. And we've considered, I guess, the public liability issues, and given the town has insurance and also town team have their own insurance, and also considered it from a health engineering planning perspective as well. So,
thank you.
Is there anything?
No? Any questions? Okay, in that case, we have a mover for the motion. Councillor Quinton, seconder. Councillor Gangell, anyone against? All those in favour? Carried unanimously. So 11.1, which is the notice of motion put forward by Councillor Brown in relation to the lot on Villiers Street. closed.
Yes,
I
understand that our CEO might have some input into discussions she has had recently.
Certainly. I contacted Mr. Andrew Hawkins.
Sorry,
hold on a second,
was there
something?
Sorry, I'm just out of clarification, if I could. I know, because Council said for it to come onto the agenda tonight. I just answered my own question. I was noticing that we're going to get another report back in July on this, but we asked for it to come back this month. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, I just answered my own question.
I just wanted to apologise. I probably didn't quite get to where you wanted me to, but it was sort of amongst a few other things I was juggling. But I did manage to have a conversation with Andrew Hawkins from the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage. He is very keen to support the town and Ashfield Cairn. He sees no reason why we couldn't proceed with the pocket park. And also, he also talked about the provision of a walkway down to Ashfield Flats and also the creation of a living stream. And he is very keen to meet with councillors and town staff to meet on the site and make sure that we've all got a shared understanding of what's possible and come up with some sort of agreement on how we can work together and move this forward.
And MRU, so your advice on this would be to delay this until we have that on-site meeting with Andrew Hawkins. I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah.
And thank you for your efforts.
Okay, so that we'll come back to the July meeting at this point. And then 11.2 was Councillor Wilson's notice of motion regards to FOGO, and he has agreed to also defer that as we have a FOGO workshop planned. Is it next Tuesday?
Tuesday.
So item 12, announcements of notice of motion for the next meeting. Nope. There's no confidential business, so in that case we'll close the meeting at 9:07. Thank you, everybody.